Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends. It is Friday, or Fri-yay, as my kids say, and it is another Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I'm answering listener questions. Now, listen, I have to tell you, if you were listening to the show on Wednesday, I've been told that I did say it was Thursday. So if you were listening in on Wednesday and you were thinking, did she say Thursday? Was it Thursday? No, it was not. And that is just proof that I am human. I am trying to do all the things like all of you, and I am in the thick of it with parenting and just all the things going on. So if you were listening, I just want to tell you that no, it was not, in fact, Thursday. It was Wednesday. And thanks to those. Okay. Hey, friends, it looks like we had some technical difficulties, so thanks so much for sticking with us. I'm sorry about that. You know, this just happens. If you were listening, I'm not sure where we're even starting, so I'm going to kind of start over. It is Friday. I know that it's Friday. If you were listening on Wednesday's show, I have been told by those of you who were concerned that I said it was Thursday. Yes, I did. I got the day wrong. I was wishing it was Thursday, wishing it was closer to the weekend, but it was, in fact, Wednesday. So if you were listening and thinking, did she say Thursday and it's Wednesday? Yes, yes, I did. But I'm just a parent, just like you, in the thick of it, just trying to do all the things and be all the places and do all those things. But today is Friday. It is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. And I'm going to answer all the questions that you have. And we're going to talk about this week's healthy habit. And I'm also going to answer questions from listeners that I've been getting. And the heartbeat of what you've been asking me is creating healthy relationships in a world that just seems like it's gone crazy, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes we look as parents and we think, what are we doing raising kids in this crazy world? Are they going to be okay? And I firmly believe, I really do believe, that if we cultivate healthy relationships that are grounded in Christ with our kids, there is no challenge this world can throw to us that we cannot tackle. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we cultivate healthy parenting in today's world that just seems like we've gone off the rails? Well, we are not going off the rails as parents. We are going to be strong and steady and faithful, and we are going to finish the race that God has set before us. If you have joined in on our 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting, let me tell you, these are the building blocks. These are the most important things. It is not life parenting hacks that you're going to hear on, you know, some self-help book or some miracle thing that you're going to do, some new communication tool. All of those things are really helpful, but the building blocks for healthy parenting is consistency over time. And that's a lot of what I'm going to talk about today. Your kids do not need a perfect parent. No such parent exists. We are not perfect, and our kids are not perfect, and so we shouldn't expect them to be. But what they do need is parents who are trying, parents who are growing, parents who are committed and dedicated to doing whatever that we can do to grow, to heal from our own past traumas, and to move forward in a healthy way. So that's what we're talking about. These habits are things that you can stack together, and incorporating over time, you will notice transformational shifts in your parenting, because as you become a more healthy person, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, then your children will become more healthy in those ways, and your family will become more healthy in those ways. So that is what we're talking about. The habits that we've covered so far are praying, incorporating prayer more into your daily life, memorizing scripture. I am memorizing 52 scriptures this year, and my husband has taken this challenge too. He's actually found an app now that he is tracking all of his scripture memory in. So if you were listening in when I talked about the virtues of using a paper Bible in church, I'm not anti-technology. There's an app that's really helpful in helping him to keep track of those. We've talked about plugging into a local church. We've talked about listening to Christian music, listening to worship music more, setting the tone for your home, for your car, for wherever you are doing, for your heart posture. We've talked about being grateful for what we have. I've shared many times before that my son will tell me when I am in a grumpy mood, Mom, you need to do it. And I am usually not very gracious and receptive. I'm like, I don't want to. He says, nope, take a deep breath. Take three deep breaths, actually. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's 10. I'm going to be honest. And think of all the things that you're thankful for. And we know that gratitude transforms our thoughts. It guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We've talked about listening with our face, putting everything down out of your hands, giving our kids the gift of our undivided attention. That is so important. We've talked about the impact of bedtime routines and sleep hygiene. And last week we talked about daily devotionals. Now this week we're talking about morning routines. I've given you a spoiler alert that I am not a morning person. Thankfully, I married someone who is. I'm more of a night owl, so I like taking those waiting up for teenagers at nights and things that are later, but mornings are difficult for me. But we know that having a morning routine is really, really important for our kids. And today, let me tell you before we go any further, I am still a little under the weather, so you may just have to struggle through where my voice is struggling through. We're all on the struggle bus together, but we will get through it together. So I appreciate your grace as you're listening with the tech issues and with my voice. Okay, let's talk about routine. Routine is really important developmentally, both for kids and us as parents. It's really a game changer. And routines are like a secret weapon against the chaos that we can have in daily life. It helps to keep that chaos in check, but it also has significant positive effects on holistic health. It helps in our relationship building. It helps in academic performance. And I'm going to give you some ways that simply having a routine really helps our families. For one thing, it reduces our stress. Routines help reduce stress. It provides structure. It provides predictability in a world that seems chaotic. And when we are talking about a world in which we're facing a significant mental health crisis, most specifically of anxiety, anxiety levels are through the roof. Routines, whether you're 2 or 12 or 20, or if you're like me in your 40s, in your 50s, in your 60s, routine is really, really helpful. And we talked earlier this week with Connie Huber about healthy risk-taking, and actually having a routine is one of those things that will increase kids' confidence and make them more willing to take a risk and try new things. It also helps improve academic performance. So going to bed, should be no surprise to any of us, going to bed and waking up at the same time, it helps our kids better able to concentrate. It helps them to be more attentive in their schoolwork, and that is important. Routines also improve our kids' self-confidence and self-esteem. They are learning how to make decisions. They're learning how to take responsibility for their actions. They're feeling a sense of confidence that they can do what they need to do to be able to set themselves up for success. It also improves their social skills. So it teaches them how to follow rules, how to interact with others, how to communicate those routines and communicate what they need and what they're doing. It also improves their physical development. So having set bedtimes and wake-up routines, it's better for their brains. It literally helps their brains to grow. It also improves their mental health. It gives them a sense of place, a sense of purpose, and it helps them to recognize what they do well and where their struggles are and what they need to do better. It increases bonding time for a family. So just having those little touch points in the morning and at nighttime, I've already talked about that, but just that touch point in the morning that, hey, you have a safe place here. You are wanted. You are valued. You are loved. This is your place and these are your people. And we will be here for you no matter what the day brings. And we'll be here for you at the end of the day. That is really important. Actually, this is kind of a secret here, I'm telling you, but routines decrease family conflict. I know that you have all been there just like I have in the morning getting up. You're running late, so you're already rushed. You're already stressed. You're saying, get up, get up, get up. You're going to be late. Where is your soccer jersey? Where is your homework? Where is your permission slip? Where is your backpack? Hurry up. We're going to be late. Did you not make your breakfast? Oh my gosh, we're out of gas. We've got to stop and make gas. So hurry up. I need some time. Those all start arguments. They make your day start stressful. They make your day start with conflict. And as soon as your kids are off to school, or their routine, or you're getting into your day, it's just not a great way to start your day. And it can be really hard to start the day like that, but what is harder? Starting the day in conflict and feeling rushed and unprepared, or starting the day where you feel like, okay, we know what we're doing. It also helps you to be better organized. So everybody knows where everything is, and those are essential life skills that kids are going to need when they grow up and they move out. Basically, routines improve our qualities of life. We as parents can use routines to create an environment where the whole family is happier and healthier. Kids appreciate structure and the benefit that families have from just having more time together to relax and those more enjoyable touch points. Now, you may be thinking right now, okay, yes, you're thinking a routine, like we all wake up in the morning and we gather around the breakfast table and we have pancakes and waffles and bacon and we listen to music and we pray together and have a devotional and the house is clean. No, I'm not talking about that. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about realistic, small first steps, how you can start with one habit for a morning routine and build it up so that you can set yourself up for success. So you won't want to miss it. We'll talk about those things. I'm also going to tell you 5 steps that you can take to get your kids to tell you about their school day when they get home. So you won't want to miss that. A lot of times parents say, how was your school day? What was fine? What was fine about it? I'm going to tell you how to reframe your questions to get them to talk to you. You won't want to miss it. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to this Friday. Hey, listen, we're all friends here. I'm just going to give you a disclaimer really quick. I have been under the weather all week, struggling with a little respiratory infection, and my voice is a little bit on the struggle bus today. So if it drops out, y'all just be patient with me. I am doing my best, and we've been having some internet issues today and so, with the connectivity. So if it drops out, just be patient. We'll be right back, and we appreciate your grace and just the wondrous joys and adventures of live radio. And here we are. Well, this week, what we're talking about, it is Friday. It is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. And I've been talking about the benefits of routine. And specifically, the healthy habit for this week is morning routine. Now, listen, no kid wakes up thinking, they don't open their eyes and immediately think, wow, I think I'll make life miserable for my parents today. And conversely, no parent wakes up thinking, I think I'm going to have a miserable, grumpy morning where I'm going to gripe at my kids and everything's going to go generally wrong. We do not intend to do that. But on the flip side, we don't go to bed thinking, what can I do to make my morning go more smoothly? And it's a struggle, again, when you're late, looking for lost items, homework's not done, there's no time for breakfast, you're struggling out the door, and you just are in your cranky parent voice, you know, where you're just not at your best. You know it, but it's the best you have in the moment. I want to tell you something called self-determination theory. Now, this is a theory for some professors at the University of Rochester, but it's an interesting consideration when we're thinking about brain development, that every child needs three specific things to feel motivated. And when we're talking about morning routines, kids need to feel motivated in the morning. If we're honest, we as adults need to feel motivated in the morning a lot of times. But they need these three things. The first is high positive relatedness. Now, what does that mean? That means having highly positive interactions that are showing you are relating to your child. Now, this could also work with your spouse. So whoever is in the home with you, but smiling, saying good morning, saying I love you, those kinds of calm, kind interactions enhance relatedness, and they make our kids more motivated. Now, those are compared to low negative relatedness. Things like, hurry up, you're going to be late. And then you know what we do? We let our frustration spill over, and all of a sudden we're saying statements like, why are you always late? Why can you never be ready on time? And we start generalizing those specific struggles we're having in the morning into character flaws for our children. And parents, this is a tough truth. And this goes for me too. But we have to take accountability for the ways that we set our kids up to fail in the morning. Are you setting your kids up to fail? Are you setting your family up to fail in the morning? That's really, really hard. And this may be a point where if this is you, you're thinking our mornings are chaos, you may need to just gather your family together and just say, hey, you know what? We've been having struggles in the morning, and here is where I haven't done my best. Here is where I take accountability for that. And I'm sorry that it's been stressful. And would you please forgive me for my part in that? Now, here's what I'm going to do to change things. Now, they're going to need to take accountability too. The parents, we can create such a bridge when we talk about, here is where I have fallen short and where I'm going to try to be better. So that those three things that they need to feel motivated, the first thing is high positive relatedness. The second thing is competence. As parents, sometimes we demand too much of them. We just expect way more than they're capable of doing, and they constantly feel like they're failing. Sometimes, conversely, this is going to step on some toes, we expect too little. We do everything for them. So this is where development comes in. So for example, are they competent to make their own lunch for school, or to make their own breakfast, or to do their own laundry and make sure that their clothes are clean? So a lot of times, you know, as as parents, you know, there are parents who are still making lunch for their kids where they're in high school. Now, I'm not here to pass judgment on that. And that may be a bond that you have with your child, which is great. And that may be something special that you do. But are you doing all of those little life skills for them that they're going to need to know how to do one day when they go out into the world? The other thing is that feeling competent that they can do something that really is going to increase and translate to all other areas of their life. So what are they competent of doing? What are your expectations of them in the morning? And are they capable of doing those things? The third thing that they need is autonomy and a sense of control. They need a series of choices that allows them to experience the consequences of their action or their own inaction. So parents, this is where we need to let our children experience the consequences of their lack of planning or responsibility. So what does this look like? Well, if they forget their lunch, no child is going to starve. Now, obviously, there are some kids with medical conditions and this doesn't apply, but no healthy child is going to starve from missing one lunch. So I know a lot of times if they're forgetting their lunch and they're calling you and saying, hey, come bring it up, you say, nope, I'm sorry that you forgot it. And I'm sorry that you're feeling hungry and this is going to be a tough day, but that will help you to remember to bring it next time. Or I'm sorry you don't have the equipment that you need for sports. You're going to have to tell your coach that you forgot it and accept those consequences and then go on to make sure that you remember it. But again, that's all in the context of setting up some guardrails to make sure that those failures are safe, that they're not catastrophic, that they're not going to, you know, cause some significant detrimental impact. And also making sure that we've set them up for success. So did you remind them the night before to get their sports equipment or to pack their lunch? If you did, then let that lie. Kids really need the confidence and competence from having that sense of control and understanding and experiencing the consequences of their actions. So if your child is feeling unmotivated to get up and to get moving in the morning, think of those three things. Are you having positive relatedness? Are you pleasant in the morning? Are they competent to do what you're expecting them to do? And are you giving them some autonomy and a sense of control? Now, I'm talking this can start as early as kindergarten. Kindergartners can lay their clothes out for the night before. High schoolers should be competent and getting everything ready that they need, including if they're driving to school, making sure that their gas tank is full and that all of those things are ready for them. So again, think realistically. Start small. What is one habit that you could adopt in the morning? Have a family meeting. Ask your kids for input. What do we need to do as a family to create more pleasant mornings? Now, we have to remember, morning starts the night before. So one of the things that you can do in talking about bedtime routine, have your kids, if they are old enough to have any sort of electronic device, check in that device 2 hours before bedtime. It's amazing what kids can do to prepare for the morning if they're not distracted by screen time. So if it's time to check it in, say bedtime's at 9 o'clock, then your phone check-in or your electronics check-in is at 7. Everybody check in your electronics. That gives you so much more time to relate together as a family and to do the things that you need to do to ensure that you have good sleep and to make sure that you're ready for the morning. So other things, and the night before, are you setting out breakfast for the morning? Are you making your lunch or doing food prep? I'll tell you, my son is in high school. He does his own food prep. He cooks his own meals on Sunday, and he has five little Tupperwares that he puts his lunch in for the week, and he does that. And he feels so good about it. It's great. It works great for us. I don't have to worry about making his lunch, and he has made himself a healthy meal for the week. So clothing and supplies. So even for little kids, thinking of if you have a hanging organizer in your closet, lay out 5 outfits for the week so there's no arguing over what is going to be worn. And thinking about all of those things, or creating a landing place for when they come in, they can dump their bags and their shoes and everything that they need. Where is that place? It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be expensive. Just a designated place to land. in the morning, it's so important for our kids to have healthy breakfast. So what can you do to make sure that your kids have accessible breakfast? Is that yogurt that they can eat on the go, or a protein bar, or is that pre-made breakfast or something that they can stick in the microwave? Kids need a healthy breakfast. Again, these are things that are all so simple, but they're just not easy. Can you reduce your distractions in the morning? So when you get up in the morning, is the TV on? Is that a distraction? Is that a distraction for you? And parents, I'm just going to say, this is something I struggle with too. If we get up in the morning and turn on the news, seeing the news sometimes when we're trying to get our families ready to get out the door for the day, it can change our attitude. We can see something that makes us angry, that makes us fearful. And then we pass those emotions on to our kids. So think about, when are you looking at the news? Is there a way that you can do it after your kids are out the door for the day, or before they even get up? Those kinds of things are important to think about, but just having no distractions, no screen time or TV. Is there a checklist that you can have, for especially for younger kids, putting a checklist on the wall or the fridge or the bathroom mirror, thinking, these are the things that you need to do in the morning. These are your chores. These are the things that you need to make sure that you have ready. Do you have your lunch? Do you have your backpack? Do you have your sports equipment? Those kinds of paper reminders can help. Do you have a family calendar or a weekly meeting to review? This is what the schedule is for the week. So you're not trying to, you know, in the morning say, oh, wait, you don't need to be picked up from school, or oh, wait, you don't have practice today. All of those things are, you know, can really just make your morning really flustered. This is a really hard one, but it's important to wake up before your kids wake up. Give yourself 10 or 15 minutes before the house goes crazy just to do whatever you need to do, whether that's a 5-minute devotional, looking at the news, getting ready while you're not distracted or having little people in the bathroom with you. That is an important healthy habit. You can also use music in the morning to set the tone of your home. Playing some cheerful good morning worship music as an alarm can be a really great way to set the tone for your home in the morning. It's also important to be flexible and stay calm. So keep an emergency box in the car. This is a mom hack that I have that I can share with you that I keep in the car. I've got power bars. So if somebody has forgotten breakfast, I can just hand them a protein bar or, you know, a granola bar, whatever it is, just saying, here you go. If they've forgotten to brush their teeth, instead of being mad and them feeling bad about it, I just hand them a disposable toothbrush. If they've forgotten to charge their phone, I keep an extra portable phone charger in my car. I keep a Tide stick if they spill anything on themselves in the car, and we can just take care of that right there. These are all morning routine habits, but you don't have to do all of them to be successful. Just think about, what is the one thing that is making your morning stressful in your family? And what is one thing that you can do to set that in a positive direction? And every family is different. So when I think about my routine, you know, there was a time for many years I worked a night job as a nurse, and I would come in and I would be sleeping. My husband handled the morning routine. I would handle the night routine. But I told them, I always wanted them to come in and to tell me goodbye and to give me a hug, tell them I love them, pray over them. It was just a quick little 2-minute thing, but that was our morning routine. It was just as simple as that. And the most important thing that should be in your morning routine is to connect. Have some sort of physical or relational connection. So that can be a hug. That can be a phrase that you say every single day, something specific that you just say to them as they go off and take on their day. That can be positive affirmations. Listen, these things do not have to be elaborate. Just something simple but consistent is really important. And then when you pick them up from school, a lot of times as parents, we say, how was your day? And they say, fine. We say, what happened? They say, nothing much. We say, really? There's nothing else to share? So instead of saying, how was your day? What I would challenge you to say instead, this is going to sound really simple. Don't say, how was your day? Say, tell me about your day. Sometimes we are conditioned as a society to just say, fine. We just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, I'm fine. Yep, I'm not fine. I'm still trying to get over this cough, so excuse me for that. When we come back, I'll tell you more.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, it is Friday. It is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. Are you hanging in there with me today? Listen, I am getting over a cold. Yes, I am. That is just the way that it is. So my voice is a little bit on the struggle bus this morning. So thank you very much to those of you who are sticking to it with me. I've got some hot tea with honey and lemon here. So hopefully that should get us through the last 15 minutes together, because what I have to tell you is actually really, really important. Now, you may have been listening to the first two segments, or you're just coming in. We're talking about healthy habits and creating a morning routine. And you may be thinking, this is so simple. And my challenge to you in response to that would be, yes, you're right. It is simple. But are you doing it? Are you doing it? Do you feel like your family has the best morning routine that you can have? Again, this doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a hotel brunch worthy breakfast and, you know, the perfect music playing and the perfect clean house. No. We are not perfect families, but is it the best that you can do for your family? Are you doing your best to set your kids up for success during the day? Now, I was talking to you before the break and before my voice gave out for just a moment there about how to get your kids to talk to you. So again, asking instead of how was your day, saying, tell me about your day. We are really conditioned as a society to just say fine when somebody asks us what we're doing. But timing is everything too. So allowing our kids some space to decompress when they come home from school, or our spouse to decompress when they come home from work. Simply say, hey, I am glad to see you. Remember what I said before about those connections and about that high positive relatedness? We need to say those things that we're thinking. I'm so glad you're home. I'm so glad to see you. Seeing your face brings a smile to me. And then when you ask them to tell them about your day, make sure that you are communicating non-verbally that you're ready to hear about it. 93% of communication is non-verbal. So when you're asking, are you busy? Are you distracted? Or are you putting everything down out of your hands? Are you listening with your face? Those kinds of things are really important. And making sure that you're ready to hear about what they have to say and you're communicating, you are important to me. These things are essential. So if you feel like I'm trying that, I'm told nothing, I'm getting nowhere, remember that planting and harvesting don't happen in the same season. We are planting seeds that will be harvested in another season. And all of these things that you do, if you make a drop place for everybody to put their backpacks, if you are creating little bins in the refrigerator to make lunch making easier, all of those things are so important. Don't underestimate the value of what you're putting in just because you don't see an instant return on that. So those kinds of things are really, really important. When things don't go well, give yourself grace. Your kids do not need to have monogrammed, freshly sharpened pencils every day. They don't need a bento box for lunch every day. They don't need all of those things to be perfect. They need you to be encouraging. They need a loving smile. They need you to spend time with them in the journey in spite of their response, even though they don't tell you, oh, thank you, this is really making a difference in how I'm feeling. They need us to be there anyway. They need us to be creating that consistency in chaos. We have to accept what we can't change. There's some things that we just can't change. That may be your child's temperament. Maybe you have a child who is just never going to be in a hurry. That's okay. Be kind to yourself. Do what you can. Laughter is good medicine, and find funny in those flawed moments and radiate confidence even when you don't feel it. And even when we're talking about getting our kids ready for school and we're getting ready for this last quarter of the school year, whether your kids are in public school or private school or they're homeschooled, just remember that in those morning routines, that is more important for us to be teaching them things like empathy and patience and perseverance. Those things, honestly, are really more important than math skills or grammar skills. And they're not going to be traumatized by not taking AP classes or by having a difficult test experience, but they will be traumatized by not processing their emotions in a healthy way. So teaching them how to process their emotions and navigate those challenging social situations, giving and receiving forgiveness, saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, let's try again, those things are really important. And when we're talking with our kids about morning routines or just creating healthy habits to nurture our families, make sure you are being a good listener. Listen more than you talk. Help your kids voice their feelings. Acknowledge when some, frustration or grief or loss. So if you encounter frustrations in the morning, saying something like, yes, the internet's not working today. I understand that is really frustrating. A listening ear and empathetic statements go a really long way. We don't need to fix every problem immediately. And sometimes as parents, especially in the morning, we're trying to do that. What we need to do is, again, create consistency in chaos. Give them hugs and reassurance, creating a safe space for appropriate expression of their feelings, and setting them up for success. Now, one of our habits before was gratitude. So gratitude is a great thing to work into your morning routine. I've talked about the clear health benefits of gratitude, making sure, knowing that it improves our relationships, it decreases our pain, it increases our happiness, it enhances our empathy, it reduces aggression and improves self-esteem. So is there a way you can work gratitude into your morning routine? When your frustration rises in the morning, counting your blessings in a challenging moment when you need a relationship reset is really helpful. So maybe you do what my youngest son does. Maybe you call your kids to call you out to be grateful. And an antidote for grumpiness is gratitude. So when you're feeling grumpy, give them permission in a respectful way to say, hey, let's have a gratitude moment. Let's tell what are three things that we're grateful for, and have that little reset, which is really, really important. And, I know as your kids are growing and as you're doing these morning routines, you have kids all across the spectrum. Some of you are in those really busy preschool days where morning routines are hectic. And some of you are in those school days, the elementary school, and some of you have high school. One thing to think about, especially in the morning for our morning routine, is to make sure that we are embracing every season and that you're not loving a previous version of who your child used to be more than who they are becoming. And sometimes that can be difficult. When we get into those teen years in the morning, we can say, you didn't used to be like this. It didn't used to be. You used to love school. You used to be happy in the morning. You used to do this. And just recognize that they have different struggles and take heart in that beautifully challenging season. Let them see that you love their 13-year-old struggles just as much as you loved the 5-year-old struggles. They need to see confidence in their eyes, that we know and love not only who they used to be, but who they are becoming. That's really important. We all go through tough seasons as families. We all have different burdens and heartaches, and we all have unhealthy ways of coping. We all have bad habits that we adopt, but we can heal and we can hope and we can thrive as families in today's world. It is a journey. It takes intentionality. It takes perseverance. It takes courage. But what if today is the day? What if today is the day you decided to change things? What if 6 months from now you find yourself in a new place and you think back to this very moment where you're listening to this program and think, what do I need to do to change the routines of our families, the rhythm of our family? Those things are so important. And in today, you know, we are in a world that seems like it has just gone crazy. And as parents, we worry about our kids and the legacy that they're inheriting. And as we're in a presidential election year, and we see all of the craziness that is around, and we talk about the culture wars, I want to give you a perspective shift, because I hear a lot of really passionate conversation about the need to fight culture, especially when it comes to our kids. And there is definitely a conversation to be had, and we have that conversation a lot on this show. But I really want to encourage you to think about this. When we structure our purpose around fighting against something, we sometimes lose sight of what we are actually fighting for. And when we're watching the news and we get passionate about politics and about things that are going on, we have to remember not to just talk over our kids' heads, but we have to intentionally talk to them about why we're passionate, why we fight the things that we do, why we choose the battles that we do. In these days, living at the speed of a smartphone is inescapable. We cannot protect our children from every negative cultural influence that will come their way. It is not realistic, and we have to let that go. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do our best to make sure that we are protecting them in every way that we can. That's a defensive strategy, but we also need an offensive strategy. I've shared before, my daughter was 5 when she saw a disturbing headline at a grocery store checkout. Am I never going to take her to the grocery store? And also, I've shared before about my kids hearing my husband and I having a passionate political conversation and being so worried and scared in the back seat, thinking that we were fighting when we weren't fighting at all. Parents' best secret weapon in this culture is building healthy relationships. You need to create a safe relational space in a world where everything seems so unsafe and their standards are subject to changing social media opinion. What is okay today is not okay tomorrow. What is not okay today may be perfectly fine tomorrow, and they don't know what the goalposts are. We need to teach them that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if they fix their eyes on Jesus as the author and perfecter of their faith, those goalposts don't change. And we are there intentionally guiding them, influencing their worldview. How do we do that? We start by viewing the world as they see it, and we come alongside them as a trusted guide. We can't just expect them to be where we are. We are grown-ups with way different worldviews, with way different brain power. We can have abstract reasoning. We've had a lot more life experience. We can't expect our kids to be where we are, but we can show them the way there. So as we do that, we do protect them from all the things in any way that we can, but empowering them by saying, you will encounter challenges that we don't expect. You will have roadblocks and bad days. You will find yourself in a scary situation. We will see scary things on the news. We will see things happen in our culture that we don't agree with and that might impact us. And you may not know what to do, but I want you to know this. I am there for you, and there is nothing that we can't get through together. As parents, we cannot succumb to fear-based parenting where we are just battening down the hatches and running for the hills in a panic every time we hear of a new threat. And there are plenty of those every day. Our hearts grip in fear as we realize the honest truth is we cannot win the fight against fentanyl overdoses or create a world where there is no human trafficking or sexting or dating violence or addiction. And that can be overwhelming and defeating. Fighting against culture has its time and place, and it should be part of your strategy. But if you reframe your parenting perspective and make it your parenting mission to fight for the heart of your child and walk with them in relationship, guiding them through cultural change, friends, that is a mission we can win. We can win the hearts of our children because you know what? Culture is not fighting for the hearts of our children. We don't have competition there. The world seeks to destroy, to devour our children like a roaring lion. But we are the ones that are irreplaceable in the hearts of our children with the love and the respect. That's how we can change culture from the inside out, fighting for the hearts of our children. You do not need to be a perfect parent. You need to be a present parent. Are you physically present in your child's life? Are you mentally present? Are you emotionally present? Do those things and have consistency in your routine, and you will find dividends in the rewards. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you, and we'll see you Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.